Glad I'm not blocking Mara.
You feel imbalanced
here?
You have
everything
on one side.
Yeah, what's your little
from
Joyce? We're a simon. We're in Daf Kuf Tezayin on Aleph. We are up to Tanya Kav. We started this yesterday, we'll go through it again. Tanya Kav, he holds you only get two lav and not the third lav. You don't get the third lav of the. Tanya, we learn Kavos, two brises, two successive brises, between the two together, we see clearly like here you don't get two malchus. Let's say, for example, you took a mashkin and a pair of scissors, so it's two parts, but together they have one function. A yoke of bulls, either the two bulls themselves or the yoke that holds the two bulls, and made up of two parts. Chayiv shtayim, chayiv two malkusin. So this brayzer chayiv two malkusin. Ze ba'atzmei veze atzmei ein chayiv alachad. If you only did one part of the scissor, chayiv. Beautiful. We can start now. We are
halfway through.
No. It's exactly where we stopped yesterday. Of kuf tezayin amar alf. I'll just do yesterday's Rashi. Tanya kavos the Rav Yehuda hayachov al zog v'tanya idah legasin v'tanya idah. We don't learn v'tanya tavayim, but he's a matarat seyat of loy mechadim enayu. It's not that there's two separate brides. You need the two brides together to support and prove that you only get two malchus. The Yimishu Miktoni. You still see Rashi. I don't know the footnote, but let's just see Rashi. You've seen nothing to do with that at all. Remember, we said that anything that is your that you need for your tools of trade. That's right. So if you need,
it could, trade.
Yeah, but it's a trade, which is your parnasa. Anything parnasa. The image of Mitani Chai Bezer Le Gimel. The first, if you only brought the first brayse and says you chayv two, that doesn't prove that you're not chayv a third one. But for the Rav Huna made them heichet teisa, I'm like siva b'mechi nefesh u'chayvul. The nafki d'achol chad koi ki nefesh. In this case over here, he is made that you only chayv two. It says gechavul nefesh, and the only avedi. Why would you get three in this case over here? Oh, in the case of the millstone, you have one pasuk says the rechev, and then pasuk the chaim, and then you have kinefesh uchayvul. So you have three lavim. Over here, when you compare, when you learn all other things that anything which are tools of trade, you chayiv, then you only chayiv two, because each one is gechavul nefesh. There's no other lavim. What's it talking about here? So this brayse proves nothing. We'll soon see. So what the proof is? By putting the both brides together, you can learn it out. This is what we did yesterday. So we're just going over the Rashi. This is the scissors. Vehein shall prokin. They're made of two parts. Each one is its own. So they only function with it together. Says Rashi. Chayv shtayim mishum ki nefesh al kol echad. Which what two avedis here? Over ki nefesh and there's two parts. Ava pishes nein tzichin lemloch. They both function together. Chayin temet shal potus chaval base potus choshes im timdon. That was that he took two cows that are plowing together with a yoke. But it, the hainunami clear oichal nefesh. This is what is it? The two cows. Rashi is learning the two cows. However, minim einai shal oil shal lehenshap. No, what's saying?
Oichal nefesh doesn't mean
food. No, tools of trade.
Your necessities.
Your panasa exactly. And minim einai. But I think it's the oil. It's the we're talking about the yoke itself. Shulhan shaprok made up of two parts,
not the two cows.
Because we're comparing it to a scissor, so lechayda scissor is two parts, not the two cows. Okay, now back to the Gemara. You just were up to yesterday. V'tani dar by eight lines from the top. We learned another brayse. Chaval zoyishasaparim. You took mashkin this pair of scissors with semech shaparis and the yoke of or the two, made up of two bulls or oxen. I would have thought you'd only be chayv one because they function together as one scissor and one set of cows. So this brayse is now comparing this din to rechayim v'rechev. Ma rechayim v'rechev shehem yuchodin. Just like rechayim v'rechev. That they were unique. Shnei kelim, the two parts. Yet v'oisim aloch achas, they do one function. And they have two lavim. V'chayav zef lazeb l'atzmai. I've called volume. She's not kelim yichodin. Voice from lachachas chayav zef lazeb l'atzmai. You're chayav the same. So this is the second brayse is comparing it to a millstone rechayim v'rechev and saying the same thing is by scissors, which means how many lavim did you get by rechayim v'rechev? Only two. Zarayit Rav Yehuda. Rashi. Where are we learning out a pair of scissors or a pair of cows? From the din of the millstones at the top and the bottom. How many lavim are you chayv? There are only two. What's it? Maybe you chayv the third osur for the other pasuk. So now you have to ask a question. So what's the first braisa adding? All you have to do is bring the second braisa. Then you have the whole vort. Why do you need the first braisa? The second braisa clearly says you get two lav and you live for the chayim v'rechav. So what do you need the first braisa for? All we know from the second braisa is that if something is made up of two parts, each part is a lav b'fnei atzma. Oh, but maybe you'll oilam shalosh malchus. Maybe in the case of millstone, there are three malchus. Achad mishum rechav, achad rechayim, achad mishum kinefesh. The koyat tavayu, because kinefesh goes on both. L'hachash mikamaisi yitzvah behed yechayiv shnayim. That's why we in the first verse it clearly says all your chayiv is two.
So what are the two?
No, I would have thought that also even by what are the two? Yechayiv, yechayiv for rechav, yechayiv for chayim. Kinefesh, yechayiv is nothing, not a lav. And we learned yesterday. Let's come and teach you another thing that when. Where are we? The kinefesh oicha has nothing to do with having a third life. It's a lav shev chlolus, or not the lav shev chlolus is because it's coming to teach you how to know everything else. How do you know
so
other things? It's not the chayim v'rechav.
Two lav in one for rechav, one for chayim.
That's it. According to the Yehuda, there's no other lav.
So if
kinefesh oicha will teach you everything but that.
Two
parts. It's exactly what the Gemara is saying. You learn from each other. Back to Gemara's story. To preserve, the Gemara tells a story. Oh, God, the person, the chaval sakina, he took a mashkin, a naive dashkafta from a butcher, mechavre from his friend, also the kamedabaya. Now, this his friend is a yatke, he needs a knife to help him cut the meat, but he just lost it as a mashkin. So he came claiming to Abaya, omele, Abaya paskin, zil ahadre, he says to the malva, give return to him the knife. You see, it's not food, it's a tool of trade, yeah. And the second thing is, v'tar kum b'din Allah, and then take him to din teira, and manushech. If he's made, he'll pay you, and if he denies it, then he swears he's part of it, and then that's it, over and done. Rashi v'tar kum b'din. Sakina d'shkafta shabaisim chayim shemekapte b'asi cut meat. Shkafta. What's the mocker in the shesh? The word shkafta. Exactly. So where do you find the mocker word for animals? Shkafta the Rebbe. You know, shkafta is when a tadi. We're using the word ksubis. A tadi passes away. He lies in bed. So here we're talking about animals that are you're flaying the animals. Calling a shkafta is, I wonder what the mocker of that word is. Yeah.
Maybe it's his.
His what?
What's
it called?
The
Shkhsakta, the
Shkhsakta. It says Shem. What does the
Malachor
do? He's also
got
a knife.
Yeah, okay. So that's it, okay. But here he's talking, he's not talking about Shkhsakta, he's talking about a knife that you cut the meat up.
So then why is it for.
It's a tool trade.
I'm saying, Ashkafta, yeah. Look at the use of the word.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely not. Then it's going to be a knife of shechita. Rashi says, yeah, this is what you, yeah, carve the meat. Rashi, we talk about dinner, tabu le din al chayvan. Take him to chayvach, take him to din teile. Im moidelach, ayim yesh eidim yishal pei. Vim lav, yishal vishu zes, and he's potter. Comes along Rav and he says, what are you talking about, he's potter? Loi tzarech le mekim bedin, has he got a din teile? The Yochel Litter Adkidate Man, because he's holding onto the knife and he has a migui, if he wanted, he could have said, I bought this knife. So now that he says, you owe me the money up to the value of the knife, he's believed with the migui. Above the value of the knife, then you're right, he's going in Taylor. But up to the value of the knife, he has a migui, because I bought it, so therefore you believe him. It's a mashkin, but ain't Adim Shemashkinai. He could have argued, I bought it. Like Tzarech Lamekin Bedina Alayu. He wouldn't have to think the Taylor. The Kondale Mashkin, he is cutting the Mashkin, Lishov of a little Akademam, take up to that value. Think about it, if I buy it, let's say, who's for it? And I buy new, Chamigui. Maishna, why was this any different than the following story, which we're going to have in Babas already in Cheskalabati, Mahani, easy, these goats. The Achli Chushla ben Hadoi, they were these goats that were eating peeled barley in Hadoi. Va'asa Marul Chushla came, the owner of the barley, to the owner of the goats and said, hey, your animal took away my barley as fodder. The toughest loser, so what he did was he grabbed a hold of the goats, I'm not giving it back to you until you pay me. The Katoin Tuva, and he's demanding a large, exorbitant amount of money. Va'amra Vudishmo Paskin, like this. that he can hold on to the goats and say the goats has a migul. If he wanted, he could have said the goats are mine. Now that he said the goats are yours, but I'm holding on to them because you owe me money for the barley, he's believed up to the value of the goats. Says the, so why should, so the same thing over here in the case of the mashkin, of the knife. He should be believed up to the value of the knife. Why is the bayis safe to go to
Taida? So if the Taida says that you have, if you want to get collect the mashkin, you have to say the shliach bezdin. Say, but ever you didn't do it, you still don't lose all your rights.
By every, what do you mean?
They went and grabbed. They didn't have a shliach bezdin to take.
This is not a loan. Only by a loan.
That's for a worker.
That's right. The Gemara, what we said yesterday, says the Gemara. What are you comparing? There's a concept. When do we believe you a migu? You could have bought it. If it's something that generally people don't lend to each other, you don't lend it to each other. So what's it doing by you? So it's very easy to for us to believe that you bought it. But if it's something that's very common for people to lend to other people, and you're saying I bought it, v'haraya, I have it, that proves nothing to us because it's very common for people to lend it. No, lend. Goats. Nobody lends their goats. But knives, people used to lend their knives. So therefore, the knife says, there's no migu. What's a migu? Why is it by you? Because I bought it. People lend knives all the time. And we know that once upon a time, this knife used to be the butcher. So now it's by you, and you're saying because you bought it. No raya, because it's by you, because it could very well be the butcher lent it to you. So the Gemara, so therefore, by the goats, there's a migu, and by the knife, there's no migu. That's why Abai says, you got to go to the Torah. The Gemara, hasam la midid of the, it's not common, to lend the rent, who therefore, if you have it, it's probably because you bought it. By the case of the knife, it's quite common. Who Rashi, but he lends out his goats. There's no edim that he took it. No, that's Abaye. Now Rava argues. What about Rava? We'll see in a minute. Who the shalal avun baravin? Because what you find the avun baravin says the vori moasuyin lahashal ask a thing which you generally you lend and you rent. Va'amal lekuchem yodin and you say why is it by me? Because I bought it. Bring it ayah. Ain't an emek. Not believe because we very well believe that he lent it to you. Nu Rava. Rava, who argues and says in the case of the knife, also he has a migu. What happened to this idea of vori moasuyin lahashal ask it? Then of Rava less lehay svara. What you're going to tell me? Rava doesn't agree with this svara. He believes it's still a migu even though. It's quite possible that he lent it to you. We'll believe that you bought it because it's by you. But Rav, apik zuga the sarbalam. Rav took away a knife that you cut wool, a shearing knife, visafra da gadata, and books of agada, meyasme from your same. Now, generally speaking, that Yisaimim, we don't take anything that the parents of the Yisaimim could have tined it and defended themselves. We will tine it on their behalf. So if it's sitting by the Yisaimim, this guy's claiming your father, I lent it to your father, give it back to me, the Yisaimim, say, no, it's ours, we have it, and he took it away from the Yisaimim. Why did he take it from the Yisaimim? Because he said it's very common to lend these things. So Rav agrees with the Svara that the fact that it's by you doesn't always prove that it's yours if it's something that's common to be lent. So how come in the case of the knife, he argues? What are you talking about? Butchers don't lend that. Butchers have a carving knife. We're very, very particular that it should be smooth and they don't want it to be any rough edges. They don't lend out the knife. Hi, Nami, keep in the Mifgimu, cup the inch of the Maishti. They're makbid and they don't lend it out. Exactly. Rashi, Zugin, Sarbla, Miss Parayan, Shagazim, and Semer, that they used to share. I feel my Yasma, Shavi, you are by the maiden, bro. Witness the Shay, Shalem is there. They ain't Tainim, Hish Alnu, Lavim, Shalelu, you lent to them. Bafkin, the Rovim, and I took away from them. Shu, the Rosh, the Hash, Lask, if he meets the Yorchalit, and the Kuru, Yadi, Yasmi, Kilaton, and I mean nothing that we tied for them. Had the Loch of a Kabul. Mishnah. Abayis v'ho'aliyah, new Pedig, the last Pedig, and this Pedig leads straight into the next Pedig in Barbasa, and that's the connection that takes between the two Parakim. So this is the story. We learned always, remember we had a few Masechtas ready. Like Maz and all that the beginning of one Masechta has to follow the end of the Masechta. The Teichin in the middle of the Masechta doesn't. The beginning follows the end.
I did the Solik, or I did the Torah.
That's right, exactly. My Seita, yeah, exactly.
With this.
Habayis v'ho'aliyah. There's a person living downstairs and a neighbor living upstairs. It wasn't a neighbor, it was actually a tenant. Shoshnayim. But actually, in this case, we're not talking about a tenant, we're talking about there were two owners. One guy ended up with the downstairs, and Rashi already says, how is that possible? Two people own one house? Rashi says, Kigoyin Shnei Achim, two brothers, Shecholkei. That divided the house. Echon not to buy the aliyah. One guy took the house. Interesting, the downstairs is called the bayis. He is the house. and upstairs is just an aliyah, like a sugar chapit. Now what happened was, vahavonim shel chaimis abayi, who owns the stones of the walls of the house? Each floor, who the owner of that house owns those stones. Min tikras abayi tachtoina, from the ceiling of the downstairs, shikarko yishel aliyah, which is also the floor of the upstairs, or the ma'ila shel elyon. So the way who owns the stones, the upstairs stones above his ground floor belongs to the top guy, and the bottom stones belong to the bottom guy. So what happened was the house fell down. Shenoflu fell down. We'll see later. Shenem Chelkin, they divided equally. We're talking about in the case where they didn't fall into somebody's property, but it fell out in the Shusarab or something, so therefore there's no ownership here. You divide it equally. We're talking about they both had the same height, because if one guy, let's say, was much higher ceiling, had much more rocks, then he should get, let's say, he was 2/3 of stones and 1/3, and they divide according to that, right? I'm assuming that they're equal. But Eitzim, they divide equally the wood, Vavanim, the stones of Ophir, the sand, so they can rebuild. V'royin, and we see Elu, Avonim, Oasuyas, Lishtab. Now, what happened? Not all the stones fall down exactly the way they were, in the same condition they were when they were built. Some stones are still whole, some stones cracked. Who gets the broken stones and who gets the whole stones? So we judge which stones are the ones that crushed. If it fell far away or fell close by. If it fell far away, it's probably from the upstairs because it fell far, it was flung away. And if it's right next to it, depends also if the building, you know, collapsed and imploded, or the building, you know, toppled over.
Yeah, exactly.
So we judge, we assess elu avonim, which stones are so lishtabe tend to break. Okay, Rashi shneim chokin hakol lefi agavoya, depending on the height echad gvoy mechavera. Avonim avonim mechavera more chokin lefi shei nikar eiz avon shel elu eiz avon shtach. We don't know who's great, who's who, so we divide according pro rata. Which one of the stones are suitable to break? Let's say there were some stones that are broken. Each one claims that mine are the ones that were unbroken. We then assess. Which are the ones that probably broke? Im shel elyon, im shel tachton. And everything according to how it fell down. If it collapsed or imploded, the nuffel tachtav, and it fell straight down, in its place, yeshladas, and you can know nishbru. Since the bottom of the house broke, the foundation collapsed, we'll also assume that the bottom of the house got crushed because the weight of the stones on top crushed the stones at the bottom. Or the kach nafal, they fell down. So then we'll say the broken ones belong to downstairs and the whole ones belong to upstairs. Vim nech bada koysa lahalon, but if the stones, let's say, toppled over, kemako, like a stick, shay oimid zoko v'nafal, a stick that was standing straight and it collapsed, that's right. Shall yoinish a koysa nafal lahalon in menu harbis, what happens is the stones are on top fall much further than the stones at the bottom. Ozel yoinish nishbru, then we'll say that the ones on top of the ones are broken, shay naflu migayvarav, because they fell from much higher distance, but tachtoinish lemish, not from bokam, not from a low one. Says the Mishnah Baita. What happens im hoya echad mehem makir miktsas avon? One that says, I know for a fact that these are, I recognize these stones. They're mine. And the other guy says, I don't know. Noitli, he takes those. And then, v'oilos lemin acheshman. This is a little bit cryptic. What do you mean, v'oilos lemin acheshman? What cheshman? What exactly does it mean that he counts as part of his stones? Obviously, it's part of his stones. That's what he's taking. What does the Mishnah mean? Rashi, mikta vana v'hen shleim complete. V'oilos lemin acheshman. Shachvedi, yigachachedis, kenegdan, that his partner, the guy downstairs, the other one, takes an equal amount of rocks opposite. What does he take? Whole or broken? We'll see him more later. Says the Gemara, first of all, it says here that we assume that what? That which ones are broke, we can judge. How can we judge? We judge if it fell down, you know, collapsed and imploded, or it toppled over. Rashi. How fell down? The bottom broke it, like a stick, and it broke the upstairs. If you can tell what caused the collapse, so why is it being mission to say divide equally? Next, let us see. If it fell, it toppled over, then it was what? And the upstairs was broke. Had the broken stones because they fell much further. And but the bottom. Why are we saying divide everything, split everything equal, 50-50? Loitzricha the nafa b'layla fell at night, so we cannot tell anymore what happened. Always sees the end product. We see in the morning. We'll see if it fell far away from the original house or it fell in the immediate area. The paninu b'tzav, these are city workers that come as soon as they see a mess, they clean up, so nobody can tell. Let's go and find out who cleaned it and ask him, where were the stones? The paninu b'neishes rabim ba'ozul alma. These are people walking by and they saw what happened, so they cleared it away. There's nobody to ask. So let's see now where the stones ended up. And we have a rule that whoever it is, it's his. Either they both share the courtyard, so how do you know if they both share the house, upstairs and downstairs, they might both share the courtyard. Or he fell in this public space, so there's nobody there who has any ownership. Or even belonging fell in one of the courtyards, because they're partners in the same house, and we share a number of amenities. Therefore, even if it fell into your thing, it doesn't prove it's yours, because you don't mind if I put my things there for a while. Rashi. You can figure it out. If it fell, it toppled over, let the top one take the those are further away. Let the top one take the whole ones. Then I'm makbid. So therefore, the fact that it's lying in the shush proves nothing. Each one allows the other one, the shush, to put his things there. Even if he's sitting in one body of the shush, he lends him his place all the time. Then we write in the Mishnah and said, if one of the guys recognizes the stones and he takes, another guy takes equal amount. What does that mean? First of all, what's the other guy, the neighbor, what's he saying? Yes, I agree. Pshita, you need a mission. Tell me if one guy says I recognize those stones of mine. Like he says, yes, you're right. So what's the mission you need? What do you need a mission for? Viloya Marin, and the other guy says, no, it's not true. So why do you believe him? El the Amala any day. Look, I said, I don't know. So what do we have here? A case of Bodhi and Shema. And what do we see from here? The Bodhi Yadiv. Isn't this a question of Nachman? Because we had a number of times, and we had a Ksuvah Dafir Alda in other places. When we learned, that you have $100 of mine. Along many that, another guy says, I don't know. You want to take away from a cheskas mammon, the body is not good enough. You need edim, you need a chacher, and so on and so forth.
Isn't that a simple case of a meisim mechaveri? All of what I paid.
No, but we.
Reuven says to Shimon,
you owe me $100.
I have $100 in your possession. The other guy's have reisach nishto.
Yeah,
a meisim mechaveri.
Exactly, but since I'm a body. And you, as Tesa explains in the few days there in Ksuvos, and you should have known if you don't know if you owe money. That itself, it's called, you have, the way Tesa explains it, it's a Shema Gurua. Your Shema is a weak Shema. There's two kinds, Tesa explains, there's two kinds of Shemas, and there's two kinds of Boris. If I say that my cow, we found a Nimtzu Uwe Betzida, my, Shoshanog is a part of Nimtzu Uwe Betzida, and I say, I know for a fact that your cow, that my cow, when it gored your cow, there was no, the fetus ready, was aborted beforehand, right? And you say you don't know. My body is weak because I know that you weren't there. You can't contest what I'm saying. So what's the proof because I say body? And your Shema is a strong Shema because how are you meant to know? You weren't there. But if I say you owe me $100, my body is strong because a person doesn't have the chutzpah to go to somebody else and stand in the and say you owe me $100. So my body is strong. Your Shema is weak because you should know if you owe the money. If you don't owe the money, say I don't owe you the money.
But isn't that the whole reason why we say Moitzi Mechaveri?
No. So this
order
is, this
you shouldn't have people going around saying, I can exactly. Go to anyone and say you owe me money, you owe me money.
So you say I don't owe you. Simple as that. The fact that you're saying
it.
You're not denying it—that's the problem. You're giving credence to what I'm saying.
In other words, because I'm denying it, that's what puts the onus on you to be the Moitzi Mechaveri to bring the raya, because I'm denying it.
Take that as a question over here. L'chayde, the whole reason why Reb Nachman says that body of Hashem, body of Avodah, is because the Shema has a cheskas mammon. Because the money is sitting in my pocket, that in itself proves that the money is mine. You want it, even like you're saying, I'm Moitzi Mechaveri. In this case over here, there's no cheskas mammon. We don't know whose stones are whose. So there's an answer, because 50% definitely belongs to each one of them. And this guy is saying, he's not saying you owe me a chayv. He's just defining the 50% that belongs to me. But you also have 50%. Because you also have definitely have 50%. And I'm taking away from you, it's like you have a cheskas mammon. I need to prove Which 50% is mine?
If a building collapses in Manila, you won't be able to say it because each one of the stones there has got a number. If you walk past, you can see.
Yeah,
they've got things carved in the wall.
They numbered each stone. The building. When they took it out, they numbered it and put it back in the building. So you walk past, you can see numbers on the bricks.
I bought by 100 times last week and I didn't see any numbers. Should have done before I went. Okay. The Rashi Dami Day Body Shem Body Adif Chayv Vishal the Body Adif Pod Misham Ukim Mani Cheskes Madif. So the Shavu Yani Day has to be doesn't know. So you want to item? We already had this answer before. But Mitzi then Hashayol the more says. Kedavra Nachman like a Nachman says. You get eight Shvu B'neiim. We're talking about this an Indian of a Shvu. There's already an existing Shvu because it's like a Meida mixes and part of it and the rest is any there. Once he has to swear and he cannot swear that even Nachman Meida. That you gotta pay. Hachnami goes to Shuva name. Hey, Kedami is Shuva. There's another Shuva here. Kedarav, like Rav. Dama Rav, money beyond Cholam, and Lepriyadi. I say, only $100. If you say, I don't know if I owe $100, so Nachman says that, you know, body is a Cheskel Mammon, you gotta bring what's Chavirah here. But what happened was, he said, Ain Lepriyadi Chavisham. $50 I owe you. So I made the mixes, right? Vahashad, I don't deny the rest. Ain the Yedeya. Now, I'm supposed to swear that I don't owe you the rest, but I can't swear because I don't know. So in this case, I'm chayv a shuv natele, and since I cannot swear, even nachal meida, you gotta pay.
So you gotta pay the.
You gotta pay the money that you say you don't know. Saying like Mishnah, is talking about a case here. I say I know these stones are mine, and you say some of these stones I agree with you are yours. The rest I don't know. Since the guy's making a claim for 50 stones, and I only acknowledge 25 stones, so therefore I'm a maid of a mixus. So even Nachal is maid, you got to swear another 25, but you can't because he any day, therefore he gets it. Then what the Mishnah says, if I recognize the stones, and you say you don't know, I take the stones, and they are part of my cheshbon. What does that mean exactly? So first, Savar Rav thought that you have an advantage. The one who recognizes stone has an advantage. In what way? In other words, I'm taking 10 stones. I recognize that the whole stones are mine. You have to also get an equal amount of stones, but you're not going to get 10 whole stones for that. You're going to get 10 broken stones. So I'm going to end up with 10 more whole stones, and the rest of the whole stones will divide equally. So I'm getting more than you. Alma kivin the umber any day it comes out the guy who is the position of the person who says I don't know is far worse than the position who says I do know. The guy says I do know, he has an advantage and he gets more stones than the other guy. Yeah. Umle bias, that's a fair. Bias has an interesting spot. This is real lateral thinking. Adrab. The guy who knows for a fact that he has that 10 of these stones he recognizes is in a worse position. The guy says, I don't know anything. Why is that? Because look at this. If you have such a mind that you know exactly what is yours, how come you don't know about the rest? They're probably not yours. So therefore, the other guy says, I don't know about any of them. He's not familiar with his stones. He doesn't look at his stones. He walked by Manila 100 times, doesn't see numbers on them. He doesn't recognize the stones. Okay. But you who knows the stones and all you know is 10 stones, so maybe you have nothing else. Says it here. Maybe all the rest are broken. Are yours. All the broken ones are yours. Because you know 10 and the rest you don't know, probably the rest are not yours. Probably the broken ones are all yours. The idoy kulot the hegnin and all the other whole stones should belong to the other person. Faket, you're in the worst. Knowing sometimes is worse than not knowing. If you know part of it, how can you not know the rest? Because it's talking about yours. Elam Abayis. You know what the Pshat the mission is? If ben shleimers. Abayis says that no. If I get 10 whole stones, you get an equal amount of whole stones. So I have no advantage over you, except that I'm going to get the stones that I recognize.
You can identify those.
So what's the mile of that? So what's the mile of that? At the end of the day, we both end up with the same amount of whole stones. So what's the mile? What about my arches? Let's say my bricks are wider than your bricks. I'm getting bigger bricks than you. Or what about the cement, the mud that we use, or the cement that we use is the better quality? Because I can identify the stones, and I'm going to end up with the stones that I identify, and my stones happen to be superior to your stones, that's the mila. And we believe you, because the other guy says, I don't know, and we're going to give you your stones. But the amount of stones, and the amount of whole versus the amount of broken, you'll both get the same amount.
So you got the halacha down in the tabaya,
according to you? Yeah, that looks like a bayah.
So you just
want the yalka gal? No, not at all. Because Rava at the end was meijitim, probably. This is a discussion in Pshat and the Mishnah.
That's right.
It's outright Machlekes. Mishnah. Next case. This now we're talking about landlord and a tenant. Habayez v'aliyah. There was a downstairs and an upstairs. And what happened was, nifchas aliyah. Suddenly the upstairs, bro, it came collapsing. came collapsing, and he can't really live upstairs. We'll soon see in the Gemara how big, what size area. The ein bala bayis reitzel lesakin, and the downstairs, the landlord, like all landlords are stingy, does not want to fix up the upstairs. Hari bala, you know what happens? The Gemara says this is justice. Bala bayis yoyid v'dolamata. The bala bayis moves it downstairs. That we'll see in the Gemara later discussion whether he moves in, he throws the landlord out, or they live together in the squalid quarters they have there. And this is a good incentive for the landlord to fix the upstairs so that he can get rid of the tenant and send it back where he belongs. Rabbi Yossi says, no. Rabbi Yossi says, it was a little Rashi. My landlord and the tenant. So what happens? According to Tanakama, the landlord has to pay for everything, the ceiling and the floor. The way it used to work is they had like two layers. You had the beams, which was the ceiling, and above the beams, you had the plaster and all that, which was the floor for the upstairs. According to the Kamba, the landlord has to pay for both. However, Rabbi Yossi says, the landlord has to pay for the beams called the tikra that were underneath. We might say later what tikra is. And the guy upstairs has to pay for the plaster and the floor. Rashi, maziva tiach shel tit, that's a cement, shenoistin al hatikra, placed on the board, shekoidin eshtereich, where that is, but then mikra, where Yazir Shlaim, but then we come out in five, but then what exactly machlech says. That's the Gemara. Nifchasa bekama, what size area are we talking about that there's a hole in the upstairs that the downstairs guy has to fix up? Rav Amma Berube, it has to be, if there's only a small hole there, then the guy can still somehow or another accommodate himself upstairs, and he has no right to move in downstairs. Shmuel Amma Ba'aba, four tvachim already means you have no room for a cabinet, you have no room for a certain piece of furniture, you can put that furniture downstairs. Rav Amma Berube, Abba Ba'aba Oloi, the four tvachim, he says, no, you cannot move downstairs, because Adam Dor Chetzel Lamata V'Chetzel Lamayla, he says, this is what you do, you remain upstairs, you just put one piece of furniture downstairs, and that's it, people can live on two floors. You have plenty of apartments, which is make up of two floors. You have two floors. And Shmuel says, people don't like to live half upstairs and half downstairs.
Every morning I have to go downstairs and knock on the
balabos's
door. Excuse me, can I use my kitchen?
We'll see later in the Gemara how he goes downstairs. That's so simple.
Usually the stairways are outside, and we're inside.
Yeah, we'll soon see in the Gemara. I don't know, okay. Hey, Chidami. What's going on here? Why is the landlord responsible? Sorry, before I get to Rashi. Four tefachim means you don't have room for one cabinet. You put another keli going teva at every lamata. He just puts it downstairs because he is ishtam by ishtamish. Whenever he wants to use it, he has access to it. It's very uncomfortable. He lives downstairs. We don't force him. That's the thing. But what's the story here? Why is the landlord responsible? Back to your mother. Hey, what are you talking about? Either Amar Ali Zoo. If he said, Ali, I'm renting you out this upstairs, other than that, too bad. If it's your tough luck. If it collapsed, Mazal Chagorim, we had so many times before the mother. Why should the landlord be responsible? Eladambale, he said to him, Ali, I'm renting you an upstairs. Then why does the landlord Yitzhak allowing the guy from upstairs to move in downstairs? He should find him another upstairs, second floor somewhere. Logalechid to let him rent him out another place. Rashi, Oz the Mazla, Gurimla, his Mazla caused him. Logalechid to him, Yeshla, if he has. Velamana Kaifas and Maskala Kotim Abayas, why are we forcing the landlord to live with him in the same house? Get him another room somewhere else. They're going to write to him.
So this assumes that if you've got the rishus to be there, you were kind of the rishus to live there.
You remember we had the whole sugya in the Gemara before. If it collapses, the tenants left to continue paying or not. And right now we're saying the landlord is responsible. So we want to know what was the wording of the contract that the landlord is responsible for him.
It means this flat in its condition.
Yeah, and if it falls apart, it's
your
loss. If
it holes in the floor, that's your business.
Exactly, exactly.
So what it means is you've got some kind of a bailiff on the bricks and mortar.
Who?
You're the tenant.
No. We're saying Mazal Chagorim, I promise you a place for 12 months. If it collapses after 6 months, it's your problem because all I promise you is this aliyah. If it fell apart, like the case we had before, remember about the field? If it rained that night, you couldn't do anything. Yeah, you still have to pay. No, you still have to pay because I didn't offer you more than anything else. This is your mazel. Then the Gemara continues. Back to the Gemara. He said, Ali Azu, this upstairs, Sha'ani Maskelacha that I am renting to you. Kisolka Solik Bahada. And if it goes, if it disappears, as long as it's there, you can go upstairs. The chinuch is chavit bahada. If it collapses and falls downstairs, you have to join me downstairs. So basically, he clearly expressed exactly what this would happen, and this is how it's going to be.
This is a very good gemara for landlords here.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, for no insurance, nothing. I don't.
Depends on the wording. It's good for lawyers.
At the time of the contract, if he said zoo,
it depends on the wording.
This is what you're getting. This is its condition. If you enter the agreement, good luck to you.
The lease is flat, so and so.
Yeah, but not the law of the land says differently.
If he says Ali Astam, then you expect a normal flat.
If so, if he clearly stipulated all these conditions, what's the point of the Mishnah? Elam Rav Ashi, the Amale, he said Aliyah Zu Shagabe Baizeh. He said this Aliyah. So Luchayda by saying this Aliyah, if it falls apart, too bad. But then he said, top of this house, Animas. He said, on top of this house, I'm renting to you. It's as if I committed the house to your Aliyah. As long as the house is upstanding, you get the Aliyah. Not. Rashi Salka, but he came about Zav. Chinachta im tifches nochis b'hadle gur by live my house. The shibud abayz gabeli the iloy shibdu. If he didn't commit it, lamele meimishal gabe bayz. What if it's put on top of this house? For kochazil ledaliyaz who come. I was talking about this house. Like more vayte v'chihal. Like the amar of Rav Yitzchak. Maise bech is a person story. The person shalach with his friend Dolis. He says these vines. Wine. Shal gabe pasigze. That's the top of this peach tree. Ani moichel lecha, I am selling to you. The nekara passing, what happened? The peach tree collapsed. Ubam meisav zneir abchir, came forward abchir. Ubam achayv atol ham lepasik, kozman shadol kayam. You got to find another peach tree. Because the vines have to crawl on top of something. And since you said clearly, the vines on top of the peach tree, then you have to keep with the peach tree. Same thing over here. Since he said that the house on top of the aliyah on top of the house, I got to keep the house is there, meshubah to the thing. And the aliyah, if it falls apart, you move into the house. Okay, we'll stop here.